Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Adam Wozniak, and I'm joined here today with my good friends and co-hosts, Darren Parkinson and Ryan Smith. How you doing, guys?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing great.
Good to hear. Good to hear. How's y'all's week's been going since school's been out?
I thought I'd get a break, but things have kind of taken full swing, so feels like I'm just back to the rat race.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We got online classes starting up now, so.
Oh, yeah. I got a night class in July that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
8:30 to 10:45 at night.
It's tough.
We're gonna have a blast.
I've actually never taken night classes, like morning, mid-afternoon. I've taken one 8 a.m. Not very good. But yeah, typically around the midday, that's usually when I do. Have you taken night classes before?
Yeah, I took one last summer, and I found that I wasn't tired or anything during class. Like, I was pretty pretty awake and focused. I didn't want to say focused, because normally between 8 and 10:45, I'm doing free time stuff, you know, watch TV, hanging out or whatever. And I was just kind of like thinking, like, man, like, I'm sort of used to just doing fun things that aren't accounting.
Yeah.
You know?
So accounting's not fun?
No, it's fun, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got you.
Like, it's not quite, you know, Game of Thrones or Xbox or anything like that.
Yeah, so today we have a special guest with us here. He happens
very
to be,
special.
Yeah, he happens to be my dad. He is Rick Smith from Hometown Pizza and Grill in Rockmart, Georgia. It's good to have you here, Dad.
Good to be here.
So, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm been in business for 27 years. Started my restaurant back in 1990, and we have franchised a few stores, and I've had up to 5 stores myself, and it's just been fun and really enjoyed it. Just had a lot of fun doing what I do.
Now, I understand this is mainly a pizza restaurant, correct?
Yeah, it's a pizza, wings, burgers, just about anything you want. Pastas. I mean, it's been a menu building over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, different meeting different people's the wants, not needs, but wants.
Right.
And in the process of it, I realized that in a small town like we're in, with the population back then of probably about 2,400, you got to have people eating with you multiple times a week to make any money.
Which town was that?
In Rockmart.
Rockmart. All right.
Yeah. And so by broadening the menu, you offer people reasons to come back more than once a week. So that's how we got started.
So initially, what made you settle on pizza?
Well, when I was in a real stressful environment in my workplace, and I just didn't like it. And so I thought, you know, the happiest times of my life when I really enjoyed life, when I was a teenager in high school, and I worked at a pizza restaurant. And so I worked at one all the way through high school, and when I went a little bit of college I went to, I worked at one. I thought, well, I knew the basics of it. I understood it. I worked with a lot of different managers and different owners of restaurants, and I thought, well, I'm going to take what savings I got, open up a pizza restaurant, and make it work. And it did. And it was it all got started just because I didn't want to deal with the stress of the rat race.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to have fun at what I do.
So tell us a little about your family orientation. Like, you know, it's structured around family. It's run by...
Yeah, the restaurant has always been structured. Hometown Pizza has always been structured around family. As far as, my kids, family... the people that work for me. Actually, I've got it. One of my first couple of years with the employees I hired has come back to work for me. His kids work for me. It's actually his whole family. All my kids have always worked there. My son-in-law runs it now, and he's been with me for about 14, 15 years. Started back when he got out of high school, and ended up marrying my daughter. And I got 2 beautiful grandkids by now, and he runs the restaurant. I went from working... anywhere from 70, 80 hours a week for 20 years to working 20 hours a week now.
You know, that's not bad at all.
Kind of laid back. Yeah. And so let the kids kind of run it for me.
All right. A little earlier, we were before the show, we were talking about the rat race and all that. You mind telling us a little bit about the tipping point that made you cross over to make the Hometown Pizza?
Yeah, I guess it was probably... had a lot to do with not being able to control my destiny, where I was headed in my future because of other people's different means of management style or different way they handled situations. And
that's a nice way to say it.
Yes, trying to be nice about it. You know, everybody's different. It's a big world and it takes all kinds of people to make the world go around. It's just, I wasn't around the right people, I guess. You know, so I just, one of the tipping points for me was being able to create my future and know every day when I get out of bed and go to work, you know, what is going on here? I created it. You know, if I make a mistake, I make a mistake. You fix it. You know, you every day you work, you give it your all. You put 100% into it, and you surround yourself by good employees. You train people. You work with kids. You help, you know, younger, you know, the teenagers and stuff. They're fun to be around. And so I guess the tipping point was just getting away from somebody else controlling my future and me wanting to be in control of it.
Right. So that, I guess the crossover into entrepreneurship and all that has provided you with certainty and sort of peace of mind about where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. It has because if I make a mistake, I made a decision and I realized that I'm, those are my choices. I wake up every, you know, you get up, you go on the next day, you know, you made a mistake, you realize it, you just don't make it again. And, you know, so that is, I guess, myself being very self-motivated for success. And, you know, I guess that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it so much.
So talking about success here, you've been in business for 27 years. So what makes Hometown Pizza stand out from the competition?
Well, I think it has to do a lot with the quality of the food because that's a battle we face every week from our food suppliers. I mean, I had issues come up this week. You know, I make a phone call, don't send me this anymore. The quality's not good. I'm not going to have it in my restaurant. And so I think that between the quality of food, the personal service we give people and delivering food and the way the atmosphere that we're in and all that, I think is one of the things that makes it stand out.
Now, it's a small town pizza restaurant. Y'all, how many locations do y'all have?
Well, right now, I just have the one.
Mm-hmm. Now, how's that compare with, say, like a big chain pizza restaurant? You said the atmosphere was better and the food selection was better. But if there was like one thing or however many things you really want to talk about, that advice that those big pizza restaurants or just big restaurants in general could take from a small town restaurant.
I think it's keeping true to the reason you started the business. You know, because it has a tendency as you get bigger, and I've seen it from my restaurant, you know, when we went from the old deck ovens, taking orders by hand, is the pressure, because the business starts growing, to update, modernize your kitchens, modernize your, you know, putting the POS systems in and all that. That's a great thing, the technology and all that. But I think one of the best pieces of advice I have would be is never stray far from your main goal. Quality, enjoying your job, making good food, you know, seeing people happy to eat at your restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the pieces of advice I would have for as the restaurants get bigger and bigger, they seem to lose that personal touch and they lose the reason why they were in it. Because when I went up to 5 stores, I even noticed myself at that time having to change recipes and change the way we did things that we've done for years simply because to make it easier to run multiple stores.
Right.
And I think sometimes they take the easy way out's not the right way.
Yeah, like Subway and Domino's and all that. Like,
yeah, everything comes in frozen. Everything comes off a truck. You just put it together.
Yeah, it's like a 4-step process that any, you know, 15-year-old at a 10th grade can
write. Right, and we don't do that.
Right.
I mean, every morning you come in, you still have the old Hobart mixer. It's been around since 1970. And you still make your dough every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you do. You spend all morning. You still make your sauces. You still prep all your food. I mean, you cut all your meats fresh. So saying that, that's where I think by trying to streamline their businesses to run multiple locations, to make it, be careful with my words here, make it proof, you know, people-friendly, employee-friendly. Let's make
it. You could say idiot-proof.
Idiot-proof. That's exactly right. That's exactly what I was going to say. But to make it employee-friendly is they start mass you know, opening these big warehouses and pre-making everything, and then they put it in trucks, they ship it, unload it, people eat it.
Right.
But there again, you got, when it comes to all that, and this is really getting off base, I think, is you're talking about more preservatives, more this added to the food, more this added to the food, you lose that freshness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can totally taste the difference. Oh, yeah. I mean, they say, especially like frozen pizzas or whatever, no one is getting fooled DiGiorno's. Like, people know, you know?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, it's not the same thing. It's frozen. It's processed food.
Yeah, they got great commercials, but we know.
It's like, it's okay, you know?
So that's the best piece of advice I can give everybody is don't stray. Don't stray far from what you got where you're at, you know?
Sound advice.
There's a saying that goes out there, don't get into business with your family. And it's funny that the entrepreneurs that come through here, a lot of them, quite a few of them have been involved with their family, spouses, just things like that. And overwhelmingly, they said they wouldn't do anything different and they love it. So you mentioned earlier that this is a huge, like your family's like ingrained with the company and what you do. So what's your take on that?
I love it. I mean, you know, honestly, I've never been one to want to protect my children from the world. I want them to see it, want them to enjoy it. But I think at the restaurant, the environment that I create for my own kids is they don't get special treatment. They don't get, they can do things one way, but all the other employees have to do it another way.
Mm-hmm.
To me, when they come through the door and you know, everybody's there for the same reason. You know, we get started. This is what we do. Let's have fun. Let's have a good night. At the end of the night, we'll all walk out of here, and guess what? I love all my kids, and it's a family thing. You know, you don't have to worry as much when the kids are there because it's fun, and you know that they understand what's going on around them, where you don't have to take the brunt of it and have to carry the full load all night long. I mean, you're talking about on a Friday night like tonight, between 4 and 10 o'clock, you'll never stop. I mean, literally, it's just physically all night long. And so when your kids are there, you only have to worry about what you're doing.
Right.
And they'll worry about what they're doing and what's around them. And you worry about what you're doing and what's around you. And you use your ears a lot. You hear things. And then you let them handle it because they've been doing it so long. And then when you see that something may not be going the right way, you pick up on it real quick and you step in.
Like, you know, you're kind of aware of a problem and you're like, all right, Ryan's got this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Between, Ryan's got this.
I mean, that would be actually the ultimate dream is have all my kids at one time working with me. Mm-hmm. They have in the past, but they've gone to college and, you know, got their own careers going. It's just a, you know, big reunion of all the great employees we've had over the years and just
have it's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It's really been fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, being in a small town, does that differ from running a big restaurant? I mean, do you have other goals or objectives, or are they pretty much the same?
No, actually, when I first started all this, my goal was to franchise it and really see it get big, biggest than some of the other franchises in around the United States, the world, whatever. And so I worked on it over the years to get everything down the way everything operates. And it's proven the way I do things at my restaurant works. I mean, it works. I've had 5 stores. Never opened a store that during the first 6 months it wasn't the note at the bank was paid off, done. Restaurants paid for. And
now, how do you do that?
Just, you know, you borrow the money, you open the store, you open up the food, you know, the business is good. Mm-hmm. You just don't touch it. You leave it alone, you pay it off, it's done, it's paid for. And never, honestly, ever opened one more 6 months. It wasn't at the bank, everything was taken care of. And then after that, it's all profit. You know, besides your taxes, your employees, and things like that.
Yeah, but that I don't think that happens very often in restaurants. 6 months, just boom.
So everyone I've ever opened, it's been done in 6 months. You know, actually, and if you really wanted to, you know, take it out over a longer period of time, it probably from day one, they always start out. You know, I mean, you have training in, but by having multiple stores in the store I have now and being open so long, what I would normally do is when we open a new store, I send employees there, let them work for a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to carry that extra labor on your staff. But when they open the new store, they just walk in and just keep, you know, it's like everything just keeps going like they're used to.
Is there like a name for that practice? Like where you send employees that you've already, you know, from store one to new store two?
I don't know if that's a name for it. That's just...
Yeah, it's just a small thing I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's just something you do, you know, to make it smoother as far as opening in the stores.
Right.
So you mentioned you had 5 stores and now you only have 1. So like being an entrepreneur, you obviously come into success as well as some failures. So how do you overcome the failures to just focus on success?
I think it's more of a pride thing at first, but I've never looked at it any as a failure. I've looked at it as a step, as a learning curve, and I looked at it as seeing why, like 2 of the franchises that I've had, you know, because of the people that actually own them, I probably should have scrutinized it a little better. And I see why they failed. And so I make sure that don't happen again. But I never really look at it as failure. I look at everything, even when it doesn't work out the way you want it to, is it's a learning process. You know, it's you learn a lesson from it. You know, learn it, move on.
Mm-hmm. Now, this question is sort of from my own curiosity here. Y'all do delivery, right?
Yeah.
Y'all have your own drivers?
Yeah.
Now, if you ever, you know anything about Uber Eats or anything? Do y'all use that?
No.
No?
No, I mean, we're a small town. We run 4 or 5 drivers a night, keep them on the road all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And may just be me as a businessman and wanting to be in control, but I want to make sure everything gets done the way it's supposed to be done. And I've actually known what you're talking about, some of these services that come out, and they pick your food up. They deliver it for you. And I haven't quite wrapped myself around that yet because of the volume we do. When you have 5 guys coming in and out of that door all night long, back to back, leaving with 3-4 orders at a time, how many Uber guys you need? That's a lot. You understand? We're not in this for... We do this for a profession. This is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in this haphazardly or just to, I'm going to order food out. Let's call this Uber guy and pick this food. No, we are constantly busy. Yeah. We don't, it's not something we dibble and dabble in. We're good at it.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious because me and my roommates, we get Uber Eats probably once a week or at least every other week. And I was just curious how it works from the restaurant's point of view.
Well, I couldn't see how something like that would work for my business. And the reason I say that is because of the volume we do.
Mm-hmm.
Now I could see how it would work for somebody who don't actually advertise. We deliver and has not been known for 27 years of taking food 10, 15 miles out.
Right.
You saw what I'm saying? 15 minutes out.
Yeah, I think I understand.
Deliveries. And so I just personally don't see how they could keep up with the volume that we do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense actually.
Because it's not like,
y'all have had it covered for years.
Yeah.
You don't need some tech company coming in and messing up.
27 years. Now, if they want to come in and pay me to do it, I'll let them have it. If they can keep up with it.
Yeah. And put it on them.
Yeah. And I actually live pretty close to Rockmore. I live in Emerson. And it's tough to find an Uber out there, too. Yeah. So, but yeah, I feel like Uber is more for the, well, Uber Eats, per se, is more for the places that don't deliver already. So in terms of, and also to keep up with the volume, I mean, you're right. It's like, is there one in the area that's close enough? Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. For like, I guess, more populated areas with cities where Uber drivers are more, around. I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, when you have your own force to keep up with the volume, yeah, that makes sense. And also something else, a question I had is, you mentioned, because one thing about being an entrepreneur is about being in control of the process, being able to take your vision, be able to do what you want with it and take others on that journey. But you mentioned earlier that you went from 80-hour work week to like taking a step back to more of about a 20-hour work week. What's that process like, going from like control to just sitting back and watching and trusting your employees and family?
Well, when I say 20 hours, and my wife would miss, she'd be saying something different. That's actual like physical time in the store.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm actually on the clock, that I'm actually scheduled to be there. And so those are hours I have to be there to cover shifts. There's not a day goes by that you're not working. I mean, mentally, you know, if it's ingrained in you and what you do you love, mentally your mind's working constantly. I mean, it just never stops. And so when I say 20 to 80, 80 was the days I'm there and the time I spend into it outside of the restaurant, actually dealing with accountants, dealing with things like that, you know. And so it's just like, we're closed on Sundays. And the reason we did that was for family day. Let employees have a day off. Everybody gets to go to church. Everybody gets to spend time with their family because I like my time with my kids. And when all my kids work at the restaurant, guess what? You never get that. And so that's why we do that. But I spent, like this last week, I spent my whole day up there Sunday installing a new POS system. You're open because if you do, you're winging it. I mean, trying to get it up store up and running full volume on a new POS system. And so I took my whole day off work, went up, installed the computers, worked with the IT guys all day long on the phones, and, you know, getting everything up and running so they could walk back in on Monday and not notice the change. You know, so, you talk about going from 80 hours to 20, you're still, every moment you're awake, you're thinking about something.
And what's it like going from that transition to more being on the hands-on role to just taking a step back and doing more of the strategic things?
I actually love it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I miss working with the employees. I enjoy it now more than I ever have because I don't have the stress on me of the running of the operations because my son-in-law and my kids have taken a lot of that off from me. So when I go in now, I'm more laid back. I pay attention. I do the things I want to do. I make food. I love making pizzas. And that's when I do. And then when I let them deal with it. And then if something needs, you know, if I see them maybe not dealing with something the way I would, I kind of leave them alone. Let them learn from their own mistakes, you know, as long as it's not something that affects the business.
Right.
And, I trust them all, and they've been doing it for a long time. If they hadn't got it down by now, they're going to learn it real quick, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, were there any particular responsibilities that were difficult to give up during the
transition? I think the one I haven't given up yet, is probably the hardest one, is the accounting.
Right.
The money.
The most important one.
Well, it is, right. And it's managing money because a lot of people don't understand when you own a small business, you have to treat yourself as an employee. You don't really own that business. It owns itself. It operates. And therefore, it's got to have capital. It's got to have money. And that's one of the number one mistakes I've seen a lot of people make in business is they see the money coming in, they take it out. The number one thing is you leave it alone. You put yourself on the payroll just like any employee. You get your paycheck, you go home. You know, that way when things do come up, I mean, it's nothing for us if an oven goes down. I mean, you're talking about $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to buy a new one, spend $30,000. Yeah. So you have got to. That's the one thing I've had trouble giving up. And I have an accountant full time that handles all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still deal with all those.
You got final say and you review everything. Right.
And make sure everything goes.
Because having that, I guess, that emergency money along with just.
Yeah. You got to be very disciplined. You got to
have emergency.
You got to be self disciplined, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You just don't touch it. Leave it alone.
Back to the small community. Being in Rockmart, how involved are you with the community or how important is it to have a good reputation in a small town?
It's very important. I've been, my son-in-law, since he's been, the last few years, has really stepped up and taken, Jerry has taken that role for me because of me being there less and personal reasons of being sick and just different things like that. But being in a small community like Rockmart's really good. Some great people in that town. I mean, just to tell you how great they are, I think it was back in 96 or 95. We actually had a fire that burned our restaurant down.
Wow.
Literally gutted it. And that was on a Wednesday morning about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Every employee I had, their parents, just local, just customers showing up because we actually had a empty vacant building in the same shopping center next to us. And the owner of that come to me because we're friends. I knew everybody. So, hey, Rick, you know, if you don't use this building for a while, you can open back up. I said, thank you very much. And he told me, you know, so I kid you not, in 24 hours we were reopened.
Wow.
24 hours. I had parents, employees, kids, employees that had parents that were electricians, plumbers. People literally had all the stainless steel equipment out in the back parking lot scrubbing it in my hand. Just strangers, people I didn't know, actual customers that eat with us. And literally that was on a Wednesday morning, and on Friday at 4 o'clock, we opened the doors, back up and running.
Man,
so a small town is wonderful. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You see everybody, you know everybody, and Rockmart has grown a lot, so that's harder to get to know the people like that. But back years ago, I mean, it was literally everybody looked out after each other. They still do. You know, So it's a good thing. I like it.
So that must have been emotional, right?
Oh, it was very, very. I mean, literally, like, I mean.
I couldn't imagine. Just
can you imagine watching? This is really how it played out. I pull up in the parking lot. The restaurant's on fire. The fire department's out trying to get through the front door. I walked up and said, "Would you like a key?" It opened. Reached down and locked the door. They opened the door. Flames come out. They go in. They you know, and I knew all of them, all the firemen. And so they put the fire out, come out and say, you know, "We saved the cash register. It's wet, the money, but here, you can have it." And I looked around and thought, "Oh, we're in trouble."
That's not enough.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and so being in a small town, it was very emotional. I mean, you had people showing up that there had nothing is fake. You know, they had no reason except for the kindness and good people, just very good people, just an awesome town. And when I say this, I really mean it. People coming in, building countertops, wiring the building, you know, asking you, where are you going to put your mixer? What kind of electricity you need going here? You tell them. And literally happening so fast that Friday rolls around, you're open back up and you're looking around going, "We just did this. We went through a fire, burned it to the ground, reopened it on a Friday at 4:00. I mean, so yeah, very emotional, very good people. You know,
thank God for Rockmart.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, the Olympics have been through there.
So. Yeah, now we can end the Olympics coming through.
Yeah, you know, 96, that was a good year.
All right.
That's when I was born.
So yeah, I've been in big towns. You don't quite have that.
Right.
You know, it's just business. It's business every day. There's really no, your restaurant caught on fire, well, go to the next one and eat. You wouldn't have.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know what I'd do. If I just saw like a random, that's weird. You know, I could just say, and just my initial reaction, like, huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still hungry, but.
Yeah.
McDonald's is burning out. Time to go to Burger King.
Yeah.
Just keep
and
on
that's really, and that's really, it's just that's just part of the small town atmosphere.
Yeah. You know? Like, but I mean, if I was back in my hometown and I saw Brian's Subs burn down,
you'd be down.
Shout out to Brian's.
Yeah.
I'd get a bucket of water or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start sprinting.
Yeah, I'll help.
After that initial week when you said you opened up back on the Friday, what was the process, the rebuilding process after that? How did that go?
It was long and drawn out.
Yeah.
You know, because we went from having a full-blown, you know, kitchen, dining room, everything, to just a carry-out delivery strictly. Because the building that we moved to, that's all we had available. And so it was just a slow go process of getting the building rebuilt, you know, redid on the inside, gutted, everything put back to code, and transitioning, getting the business moved back into it. I think it probably took about 4 to 6 months before we got back into our normal location.
And do you have any advice for anybody that's been through similar things or maybe going through those times right now in terms of having a house or something burned down like that?
Yeah, I'll just keep going forward. You know, it'll get better. Trust me, it will get better.
So up to our last question here, we always ask this question. If there was something that you know now that you wish you knew back then, you know, just giving advice to young entrepreneurs here, what would that be? So,
whenever your dreams are, whenever you want to do in life and you love it, you'll do good. You know, if you look at it from the aspect of it's all about the money, I'm not saying it's not, but you got to be true to whatever you believe in. If you know, because the different generation between my generation and y'all's generation is that, you know, you see something, you believe in it, you want to give the advice to it. The advice would be is, you know, never give up, never stop. You know, maybe go at it different angles, but just never stop. You know, because in the end, it'll be worth your time. Because I've loved every moment of it. 27 years, I still get up every day, go to work, and I love it. I don't ever get up thinking, I don't want to do this.
Well said. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And if there's anywhere our viewers, listeners can reach out to you, learn more about your restaurant, where could they do so?
They can go to Facebook. We have a page there, and we actually got a website under construction right now for that.
Okay. Just a Hometown Pizza.
Hometown Pizza and Grill in Rockmart, Georgia.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Well, I'm Adam Wozniak.
I'm Ryan Smith.
And I'm Darren Parkinson.
We are Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.